Welcome to Insights for Eternity with Pastor John Edmiston. In-depth Bible teaching that will prepare you for life and for ministry. If you would like some formal training, which is very affordable, go to his website at harvesttimeinstitute.org. That is HARVESTIME Institute.org. Now, open your Bibles as we listen to today's lesson.
Hi, this is Pastor John Edmiston with Insights for Eternity. God bless you all as you study His Word and walk with Jesus. Today we'll be looking at one of the passages that is in all four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Jesus cleanses the temple. And before we do that, let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for your grace. We thank you for your Bible, for Jesus Christ, for the Gospels, for the light that comes forth from your word. We now ask for anointing, grace, peace, and power as I speak to your people about your word. We pray this in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen. Okay, let's look at the passage in Luke, and then I'll add some details from the other Gospels to get a complete picture. Luke 19:45-48. Luke 19, verses 45 to 48. And grab your Bibles, pens, and notebooks, because here at Insights for Eternity, we teach those who teach others. Here we go. And he entered the temple and began to drive out those who sold, saying to them, "It is written, my house shall be a house of prayer, but you have made it a den of robbers." And he was teaching daily in the temple. The chief priests and the scribes and the principal men of the people were seeking to destroy him, but they did not find anything they could do, for all the people were hanging on his words. And this is just before the crucifixion. And next, in Mark, and they came to Jerusalem, and he entered the temple and began to drive out those who sold and those who bought in the temple, and he overturned the tables of the money changers and the seats of those who sold pigeons, and he would not allow anyone to carry anything through the temple, and he was teaching them and saying to them, "Is it not written, my house shall be called a house of prayer for all the nations, but you have made it a den of robbers?" And in John's Gospel, chapter 2, verses 13 to 17, the Passover of the Jews was at hand, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. In the temple he found those who were selling oxen and sheep and pigeons and the money changers sitting there, and he made a whip of cords. He drove them all out of the temple with the sheep and oxen, and he poured out the coins of the money changers and overturned their tables. And he told those who sold the pigeons, "Take these things away. Do not make my Father's house a house of trade." His disciples remembered that it was written, "Zeal for your house will consume me." And so what's going on here? We're seeing that zeal for God's house consumes Jesus when he sees the commercialization of religion. Everywhere we look nowadays, religion is being commercialized. You go on TV and people are selling holy water, anointing oil, Bibles, special books, things that are going to change your life right now, and so on and so forth, often with very fancy promises about how it's going to drive out a demon or how this lady in Pennsylvania was healed by this magic handkerchief. And that is all an abomination to God. You cannot serve both God and mammon. Judas tried and he fell away from the Lord for 30 pieces of silver. Demas tried and fell away. And in the end times, the choice is going to be the mark of the beast, which will allow you to buy and sell. So it puts you in the market. The market is the place of buying and selling. So the mark of the beast is the mark of the market. It's the mark of buying and selling. And that mark of the beast is for people who want money. And then on the other hand, there will be the people of the kingdom of God who will be provided for by God in his extraordinary grace, just as Elijah was provided, and just as God promises us that if we seek first his righteousness and his kingdom, all things shall be provided to us. And people will hang on those verses, then they will refuse the mark of the market, and they will stay away from commercialism, and they will be saved. So there's this tension all through the Bible. between those who love money and those who love God. And we find Nehemiah chasing away people who are trying to break the Sabbath by bringing in loads on their donkeys and trading and so on and so forth. So here we have the battle for sacred space. Let me repeat that. Here we have the battle for sacred space. The temple is supposed to be the house of prayer for all nations. It was the most sacred space on the whole face of the earth. Everyone was to come to it, according to the Gospel of Mark. So everyone from China to Africa to Ethiopia, everyone in Egypt, everyone in Israel was supposed to come to the temple to pray. It was the most sacred space on planet Earth. Now, what had happened to this sacred space? It had been invaded by greedy people. They were very greedy people, and their money changers particularly, they wanted to change everyone's money into the temple shekel so people could pay temple taxes and buy all sorts of pigeons and doves and oxen and sheep and sacrifices. And the money changers then, as now, charged terrible exchange rates. These were usurious. They were rip-off exchange rates. They were ripping off the people coming from all over the world to the temple, to this sacred place. It had become a den of robbers, a house of thieves. It had become a place of trade and commerce. And the people were getting very rich there. I'm sure the high priests got kickbacks. There was all sorts of corruption going on. And instead of being a sacred space for all nations of the world to come and worship God, the sacred space is being invaded by commercialism. And this is happening everywhere. Every time you try and get a quiet time or something like that, there's something's going to try and interrupt it. That's for sure, isn't it? Well, one of the things that interrupts our sacred spaces around the world is shopping. Okay, people want to go shopping on Sundays instead of going to church. Well, immediately after church, they rush off down to the shopping mall because commerce has got such a grip on us that it's buying, buying, buying all the time, the latest and greatest things. We have to carve out space that's free from commercialism, free from all the ads on TV and on the internet, free from advertising on this and that and the other, and have places where it's just God and you. And you need to make sacred space for yourself. And if you're a pastor with a church, your church shouldn't be commercialized. It should be a place where people can go and pray and be alone with God and not have to put offerings in a plate all the time and without constant appeals for money, money, money. They should feel when they're going to church, they're going to a place that's holy, that's separate from the world. The world is commercial. It's all about buying and selling. Heaven is not commercial. It's about giving and receiving. So in heaven, it's about you believe and you receive. You believe and you receive, and everything in the spiritual realm is free. God gives it to you. God is a God who gives to those who believe. And so you find that grace is free, salvation is free, the love of God is free, joy in your heart is free, peace in your heart is free, all the things of God are free. But out in the world, you've got to earn your way, and you've got to buy and sell your way to commercial success, and so on and so forth. But the kingdom of God does not operate like that. And so here Jesus goes to the place that's supposed to be the most sacred place on the whole earth, and it's full of commercial trade, dishonesty, money exchanging going wrong, rip-off rates for the animals. The whole thing was a scam. So he went to find holiness, and instead he found a wicked and terrible scam, and it violated Jesus right down to the core of his being. For zeal for God's house would consume him. He looked at this and he expected holiness, and he saw unrighteousness, wickedness, greed, people scamming each other, and so on and so forth. And you mustn't let these multi-level marketers and scam artists operate in your church. You must drive them out, just as Jesus did. So what did he do? He made a whip of cords. It wasn't a dangerous whip. It was a whip of cords. And he went around beating these people and driving them out and overturning the tables of the money changers and getting rid of all the pigeons and things and saying, get all this junk out of here, driving away the cattle and the sheep. And he created a terrible ruckus. And You think he might have done it twice, once early on in John's gospel, and then secondly, just before his crucifixion. And as he did that, as he purified the temple and he taught in the temple, all the officials of the temple were enraged. So in the last week of Jesus' life, he is fulfilling the purpose of the temple. Jesus is in the temple. It's his house. Remember, it says in Luke, as a small child, he was there. He says, should not I be about my father's business? He was in his father's house doing his father's business. And so that was a sacred space from him from childhood. And he turns around and there is all this commercialism driven by these wicked chief priests and nasty Romans and the money changers and everyone else. And so he is infuriated with righteous indignation. So we are not to commercialize worship. We are to prioritize the sacred. The sacred is to get top place in our life. We're going to have a little special space where we sit down and we pray. And that's our space where we take our Bible and our notebook and we worship God. And we are to be intolerant of that which is wicked and foul and disgusting and defiling. We are not to have any idols in a church. We're not to have any commercialism and trade going on in the church. You're not to sell raffle tickets in a church and things like that. Keep that stuff out of your church. If you've got to sell stuff, do it somewhere else. And I don't think that it's a valid thing to do, especially in the sanctuary, especially in the places of worship in a church. Don't sell things. Have a special market in someone's house if you want to do that. But I don't think church should be a place of commercialism and trade. As I said before, you cannot serve both God and mammon. Well, I suppose if you've traveled anywhere, you've been to some place where tourists go. And wherever tourists accumulate, in the mountain, in the park, in the city, wherever it is, the historical monuments, there is always a gift shop. And you know when you go to that gift shop that the things in the gift shop are going to be very, very expensive. That if you buy a coffee mug at the gift shop, it's three times the price of the same coffee mug down the street in the ordinary shop. And that's what was going on here in the temple. It was a religious gift shop where people were going in and they were being scammed left, right, and center. This just wasn't good for business and good for God. It was good for business and bad for God. It was disruptive of the whole worship process. It was unjust and it was predatory religion. Now, this profiteering spirit, this idea that we can make money from religion and walk around and scam the parishioners, that profiteering spirit has to be driven out of God's church. There are many, many pastors who live in luxurious life while their parishioners are poor and struggling. And they give hope to the parishioners that God will turn up and bless them in this way or that, but they're really just scamming them with hope. And we don't want that. We don't want the profiteering spirit in the pulpits. We want a pure spirit, a holy spirit, a spirit of intimacy with God, of purity of heart in the pulpit, in our pastors, in our deacons, in our elders, in the church as a whole. And we need to get rid of the money spirit taking over the churches and driving them into a business mentality. I have had people come up to me about my ministry and they say to me, what's your business plan? I don't have a business plan for my ministry. It's not a business, it's a ministry. It is supplied by the Lord. God supplies my needs, he will supply your needs. We're not to have a business plan. Jesus didn't train the disciples and how to have a marketing plan and a business plan and all this kind of thing. It seems sensible, but it leads us straight towards commercialization of the gospel. We think, how can we put out a product that will support our ministry? How can we do this or that? No, it's the anointing that supports your ministry. Who have you healed? Who have you prayed for? Who have you blessed? How has the Lord touched their lives and minds? Who's got saved? How is the glory of God coming out from you? Your marketing plan is your anointing, and you need to have a mighty anointing from God from you, and you're not to be like these priests who were just scamming people so that they, instead of buying a pigeon for $2, they had to buy a pigeon for $20 because it was a temple pigeon. And it was the sacrifice that was right there, authorized by the high priest, blessed with holy water or whatever. And so it was 10 times the price of what was available price out there. And they would say, if you brought your sacrifice in from outside, they'd inspect it and say, oh, that's not good enough. Throw that one away. You've got to buy your sacrifice from one of the temple people here. So it was a terrible, wicked, poisonous thing that was going on. And so we don't want to put these two things together. We don't want to put God and mammon together. We don't want to put worship and trade together. They have to be separate. And that is actually quite a difficult thing to do because the whole world we're in is a commercial world. We go to work, we think one way, but at church we're to think another way. At work, yes, when we're in a business, we have to earn a profit and so on and so forth. But we can't take that mentality out from the world and impose it on the church. As a pastor, you're not there to make a profit. You're there to be a prophet. You're there to prophesy the truth of God to the people of the world. You're there to bring the Bible. You're there to tell people about Jesus, not how they can have abundance and prosperity and everything else. Abundance and prosperity is good, but you're there to tell them about eternal life, to tell them about salvation, to tell them about the love of God, to tell them how to love one another, encourage one another, and bless one another. You're there to teach them about the power of the Holy Ghost, not the power of the latest marketing plan that you've come across. And these pastors that are always selling something and say, oh, well, buy my amulets, buy this, buy my magic field thing, and this thing, you know, all the things they sell. That kind of stuff demeans the gospel. And if your church is a church that's always selling something to you or marketing something to you, don't go along with that. Walk away. Find a church that's holy. Find a church that's not going to exploit you financially. Go to a church where they're not going to push for 20 minutes every week on the offering. Go to a church that's free from the love of money. And one of the characteristics of elders in Timothy and Titus is that they will be free from the love of money. And your heart and my heart also needs to be free from the love of money. We don't want to be like this this defiled temple here. We want to be a pure and holy temple. And you want to be free from the love of money. I want to be free from the love of money. And we need to be trusting God and believing in God as Abraham did, who went out into a land that he knew not of. And he went out there trusting in God's provision, and God provided, and he made him into a great nation and the father of many nations. And that was God's work to bless and multiply and give dominion. And it is through the power of God that God blesses, multiplies, and gives dominion, just as he did to Abraham, just as he did to Adam, just as he's done throughout the Bible. God's blessing will raise you up. But if you're like these people who are selling pigeons and sheep and oxen and money changing and all the other wicked things they're doing in the temple, God's not going to bless you. He's not going to bless you at all. You'll just end up being driven out of the presence of God. And so if we're like Judas, if we're like Demas, we end up outside of God's kingdom. We end up outside of God's presence, which is what happened here. Jesus turns up. Jesus is not happy with them making a profit in the house of God. He is very angry with people making a profit in the house of God, and he cleanses the temple from all of this commercial activity. So please don't have even a bake sale in a church. I know that's very, very common to sell things in a church on Sunday. Just don't do it. Go and find another way of raising money, or the ladies finding something for the youth camp or something like that. Let's put that outside of the church building. Let's figure out a way. Maybe we can collect some donations for the church camp or something like that. But don't commercialize the church premises. That is really wrong. Prayer is to be the priority. People are to be at church to pray, to worship, to be prayed for, and to have a sense of God's holy, awesome presence. When they get to church, they should be flat on the floor with worship. They should be in the presence of God. They should be bowed down in prayer and awe. The pastor should be walking around praying for the sick and the grieving and helping people with their lives. All the sales activity is a massive distraction from the plans and the purposes of God for their life. So our zeal, our priority, our emotional intensity has to be towards the holy and not towards the profitable. As Jesus says, it is said of Jesus, rather, zeal for thy house will consume me. In other words, Jesus was consumed with the holy things and he didn't particularly care about the earthly things. He didn't care about money. You never hear about Jesus running around and talking about how much money he's made or how he's got a Rolls Royce or how he's got a big aircraft or this, that, or the other. We see Jesus lowly, meek, riding on a donkey. Where we find Jesus walking most places and borrowing boats to preach out of. We don't find Jesus being crassly commercial in his life. And same with the apostles. They would say, silver and gold have I? None. But what I have, that's the anointing, I give thee. And this, that's the way the man was able to rise up and walk. Our zeal is to be for the holy, for the presence of God, for praying to God, for living in the anointing and power of God, for showing forth the fruit and fruit of God, the love, joy, peace, and having a good character. That's where our zeal is to be. And if we're thinking that the church is just another commercial enterprise and just another business that can be run, except it's a religious business, then you're in the wrong business. It's not a business at all. And the idea that churches can be run like businesses and that pastors should be leaders of businesses, they should be CEOs, that came out in the 80s here in America with something called church growth theory. It spread all around the world, and it is wrong. It is an insult to the spirit of the gospel. We are not to get into the prosperity gospel. God's blessing is intangible. It's love, joy, peace, patience, goodness. It's the anointing on your life. It's having peace between you and your wife. It's having your children love you. It's having a sense of emotional security. It's knowing that you're going to heaven when you die. These are the blessings of God. God is not in the business of rewarding every good deed with money. Otherwise, people would be just serving God for the commercial blessings. And that's not how it works. We are called to suffer with Jesus in this life if we're to be glorified with Jesus in the next life. And so you and I are to have our hope set on heaven, not here on earth. These fancy preachers that fly around in big jets seem to be blessed by God, but they are deceivers. They are not people who are in the Word of God in a true way. They're just simply using the Word of God to exploit people, to manipulate people, and to get themselves rich. Do not fall for that. We are not in any way, shape, or form to commercialize the gospel. You cannot serve God and mammon. And if you do, it will pierce your soul with many a pang and you will fall away from the faith. That's 1 Timothy 6:10. We are not to engage in the love of money, which is the root of many, many kinds of evil. Now, we need money, and I can understand financial desperation. I lived for 25 years by faith under very constrained economic circumstances, but I don't talk about that much anymore. And God provided through all those extremely difficult years. I didn't have a car till I was 47 and various other things. But God has turned things around financially and we're fine. But the thought here is that we are to prioritize God first, not the dollar first. We are to give that which God has given us. And what's God given us? He's given us salvation. He's given us the power of the Holy Ghost. He's given us spiritual authority. He's given us the ability to heal, to raise up the sick, to bless them, to cleanse the lepers, and so on and so forth. That's the thing that God's given you. And as you pursue God in holiness, in prayer, and to have his place sacrosanct and to put aside the gospel in one category and money in another category entirely, God will bless your life. Do not commercialize the gospel. Do not make merchandise of the gospel, as Paul says in one of his epistles. So I did not make merchandise of the gospel. That was a characteristic of false apostles. False apostles merchandise and commercialize the gospel and turn it into a business. Don't do that. Walk holy before the Lord. Walk in the fear of the Lord. Make a separation between the profane and the holy. You still have to deal with the profane. You still have to deal with money. You still have to pay bills. You still have to have an income. But make a separation between the profane and the holy. And be reverent towards God when it comes to dealing with the holy things, to going to church and so on. I believe in dressing up for church as best you can with what you've got. You don't have to compete with people there. But go to God's house and fear the Lord and have zeal for his house consuming you. It's a holy place. Yes, our current churches are not the temple. We are the temple. God dwells in us now. No church is a temple of God, even if it's called that. But it is a holy place. It's where transactions with God take place, where people are saved, they're blessed, they're born again, they're filled with the Spirit, and so on and so forth. So you are to respect your pastor. Your zeal for God's house is to consume you. The church is to be a house of prayer for all nations coming into that church. And it is not to be a den of gambling. It's not to have all sorts of lotteries going on it and other things going on and bingo in churches. Get rid of all that stuff, right? Don't sell things in church. Don't have all sorts of lotteries in church and raffles. Get rid of that. That is not holy. That is not good. That is not help the people of God at all. And if you've been doing that, look at these passages, realize, hey, that's not in line with God's will. We're going to stop doing that. We're going to repent of doing that. And we're going to put this a long way away from us. And we're not going to bother with that again. So here we are. And also fundraising. If you have to fundraise for your church, your ministry, do it in a holy manner. Do it in a manner that is glorifying to God and doesn't smack of some kind of cheap, nasty trickery and so on and so forth. And don't rip people off. If you're doing work, charge a fair price for your work, but don't overcharge. These people were overcharging. They were a den of robbers. They were taking advantage of the situation to rip people off. Don't do that. God sees, God judges, God knows. So here we are. Remember to keep God's things holy at all times. And it's John Edmiston signing off with Insights for Eternity. God bless you all.
Thank you for listening to Insights for Eternity with Pastor John Edmiston. We hope that you have been blessed. May the Lord strengthen you as you do his work. If you want to contact John Edmiston, just send an email to johned@cybermissions.org. johned@cybermissions.org. May the peace of God be with you.